Welcome to Steadfast Hope. Kent, here we are again. We are
good to see you.
We are doing it.
Thanks for coming back.
I checked to see what coat you were going to be wearing today, and I was trying to match up with you.
Yeah.
I guess you
missed on the
shirt. Your white shirts are at the cleaners. But here we are at Herb's house, and we've got a great study in store right now. We're in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. And the title of this is The Cross Divides. And I want to begin by reading the verse, talk about it, and then Kent and I will talk about it. The Apostle Paul writes, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." I mean, Kent, this is a strong verse. And it's telling us that Mount Calvary is right in the middle of all humanity. And it's the continental divide. And the cross separates every human being. And on one side is this group that has not believed in the cross, the message of the cross. And on the other side is those who have. And when he says the word of the cross, he's talking about the full revelation of the truth that's revealed about the cross. I mean, it takes into account the person who died upon that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man. It takes into account the benefits of the cross that he secured in that death. Propitiation, which is to appease the wrath of God. Redemption, which is to pay the purchase price for those who are slaves of sin. Reconciliation, to bring together the two offended parties, holy God and sinful man. It includes expiation, that our sins were laid upon Christ and he took them far away, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I mean, all of that is included in the word of the cross. So he says, the word of the cross to those who are perishing is foolishness. It's foolishness to the unbelieving world that a person's eternal destiny would be determined by your relationship to this one who hung upon the cross for us 2,000 years ago. The word foolishness comes into the English language as moron. I mean, it is just insipid. It is sheer nonsense to the unbeliever that a dying Jew upon a Roman execution cross would affect my eternal destiny. That it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the one who died upon the cross, and it was just utterly rejected by those in Corinth, as well as really is true of those around the world, and they're perishing. Right now, present tense, they are self-destructing as they live a life of sin independent of the cross. Mm-hmm. And by total contrast, Paul says, but to us, mm-hmm. And the us here refers to all who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, it's for us, it's not foolishness. For us, it is the wisdom of God. It's the brilliant plan of salvation, that God took our sins and laid them upon Christ, and that he died in our place, and that his righteousness would be given to us, and that his blood would wash away our sins. For us, we're being saved. We are being delivered from really the eternal wrath of God. By the cross. And it is, for us, the power of God. Power to cancel out our sin debt. Power to radically change and transform our lives. Power to secure our eternal destiny with the Father in heaven. For us, it is the power of God. So, the cross divides. And everyone is either a believer in the cross and they're going to heaven, or they have rejected the message of the cross, and they are on a totally different path headed for eternal destruction. So Paul here makes this strong statement, and the cross is the ultimate continental divide that separates all humanity. So, Kent, what have you got for us to talk about?
Well, this is Steve, not one of those verses that really is one you hang on the refrigerator? I mean, it's like one of the main bottom line verses.
Yeah.
And I guess my question is a couple of things. As you know, we've been talking about our Evangers, the group at church that goes out every week.
Yeah.
And we go up to people and try to share the gospel. I've been privileged to go a few times, and it's just awesome. And I think this verse has a lot of is very applicable, because the way people react.
Yeah.
And I guess my question is, when it says the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, can you describe how is foolishness displayed in this particular way? If the word of the cross is foolishness to someone, what do you see in their lives?
Well, and the word foolishness, as you were talking, made me think of just a couple of synonyms: folly, nonsense. And the way it works in their lives is they see no personal need for the cross.
No personal need.
They might admit they're not perfect. They might admit that they have sinned, but they think that God will somehow grade them on the curve, that God will somehow, if they've done more good than bad, or if they have lived a moral life, or even if they just help the church or some civic good, then God will accept them. And so the foolishness is really rooted and grounded in the fact that they don't understand the holiness of God, that God cannot approve iniquity, and that every person must have their sins washed away. And there's only one agent that will do that, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they would ridicule what you and I believe, what the Bible teaches, that there's only one way of acceptance with God, and that is to put personal faith in His Son who died upon this cross. When they hear that, they think God's far more tolerant. They think that there must be multiple ways to come to God, that this one way, it's only one way to God through the cross. That just doesn't register for them as being true. And later in chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised." I mean, he just can't grasp what it's really all about and his dire need of it. So that it's foolishness to him. So he pushes it away, and he just goes on his way without any regard to the cross.
Can these people, Steve, talk about their intellectual abilities? Because to us who are believers, it's just the opposite. You're foolish if you don't believe this.
Yeah.
But these type of people that are foolishness and reject it, what about their intellectual capacity? Can they be, what do they look like in the world?
Well, they can be some of the smartest people in the world.
Is that right?
And in Corinth, Athens was 45 miles away, and that was the home of the academy where the philosophers were. And so that had trickled downstream into Corinth. And so it really was a city that had many brilliant minds and thinkers. And so for them to try to process this message, it was too simple for them. It wasn't complex enough for their highly refined and educated minds. And so they rejected it. This is too simplistic for me to believe this, that even a little child could comprehend this and grasp this. So, you know, Kent, that's what it looks like, and that is why Jesus said in Matthew's gospel that God has hidden it from the wise and the prudent and has revealed it unto babes. And so you've got to yield your intellectual pride and just lay it in the dust and come like a little child, trusting that what God says is true and that the cross alone is the power of God unto salvation. Because this is the brilliant genius of God on display, that he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we would become the righteousness of God in him. So, Kent, this is the glory of the cross, and we are so grateful that God has opened our eyes to see this, and I pray that God has opened your eyes, and if he has not, to see the power of the cross, then I would encourage you right now to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And if you can't see it, then ask God to open your eyes to see it. It is the only way of salvation. Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope.